Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we praise you for the way you have given your word to us in the scriptures, for the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us through that word. And we pray that as we are the lambs and sheep of his flock, that through the preaching of that word we may hear his voice, and hearing his voice may respond in faith and trust and love. And we ask this together for our good and for his glory. Amen. Please be seated. Now our scripture reading is from the last chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28 and verses 16 through 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And as you're turning there, let me say what a treat it is to be able to see your faces this morning, and not just the backs of the heads of the people who sit in the first few pews. Most of you actually look as though you're sitting in the same place you were the last time I saw you. And I want to greet you in our Saviour's name, and also to greet you in the name of the next love of my life, Dorothy, who with me loves you, and together we often talk of you behind your backs, fondly and with great gratitude for your love for us. And I am grateful to Derek Thomas for giving me this treat of being able to preach to you once again. I ordered the titles to make sure you did not think that these were my last words, but Jesus' last words. Many of you will not know that he and I have known each other since we were in our 20s. And he does not know, but I need to tell you that from the moment of our first contact, I always thought of him as my superior. And as the days have gone on, recently I was at a meeting in which a wise businessman said that one of the signs of a really good leader is that he brings on board somebody who is more able than himself. And I sat in the meeting thinking, I never knew I was as wise as all that. And I rejoice with you in his ministry and in the ministry of all the brethren who serve you day in and day out in the service of God here. Well, let us hear God's word from Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Some time ago, I sat down to write those letters that when you get older, you know you ought to write, but have a certain reserve in writing. Those letters that you will leave behind marked to be read in the event of my death. And I tried to write a letter to each of our family, to my wife Dorothy, to our four children. And although words have been the tools of my lifetime trade, I found it intensely difficult. Intensely difficult to say how much I loved them, knowing that whenever those words were read, the subtext would be, "I love you with all my heart, but I am no longer with you." And it struck me in the light of that how amazing, how wonderful Jesus' last words to his disciples really are. How encouraging it must have been to them after 3 years of faith and love and journeys after these last days in which again they had been with him because he'd risen from the dead. And it looks to me as though in verse 16 and 17 there were some of them at least that thought, this cannot last. They couldn't doubt his resurrection. But I think they may have doubted that it would all last. And then he says to them in these magical words, really, I am with you always to the end of the ages. We usually think about these verses in a missionary conference, a missions weekend, perhaps when we are farewelling someone who is going overseas as a missionary. And as a result, and because preachers have certain habits, at the tail end of the sermon, tail end of the message, we will kind of add on, as though it were a postscript, and oh, by the way, he will be with you always to the end of the age. And I want therefore for us to focus down for a few minutes just on those last words of Jesus' last words. This prophecy and promise, I am with you always to the end of the age. And I want us to notice three things about it. First of all, the disciples had heard similar promises before. In fact, Jesus had given them similar promises. They had been in difficulties, and he had promised he would be with them. They had discovered themselves physically in the midst of storms, and he had come to them, and he had said, I'm here with you. Don't lose faith. Don't lose heart. And behind that, these men who had been, the only book in their education had been their Hebrew Bible. Their minds were filled with the great stories of the heroes of the faith in the past, who in difficulty, facing challenges, had heard the Lord say to them in different ways, I will be with you. My presence will go with you. The greatest of those was probably Moses. When God called him to lead the people out of Egypt, and in the face of that challenge, he said to the Lord, Lord, who am I to do this? And the Lord says to Moses, that isn't really the question. The real question is, who am I? And in Exodus 3, he gives them this great promise, I will be with you. And later on, when everything falls to pieces in Moses' leadership, and the people worship the golden calf, just as he's coming down the mountain with God's new revelation of his grace and of his will. And he goes back to God. And he says, oh God, we can't go on any further unless you reassure me you will go with me. And the Lord comes and says to him, Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he's like some of these disciples, he doubts. And so he asks for more. He says, oh God, then show me your glory. To reassure me you really will be present with me, show me your glory. And the Lord says to him, you may not see my glory and live. You cannot look on my face and bear the burning light of that face. But I will show you my goodness and my mercy. And he puts him in the cleft of the rock, you remember. And Moses sees God, as it were, God's back as he passes by the cave as a reassurance to him that though he may not see his glory, he knows his name. He is the great I am, and he will be with him and give him rest. And yet, in Matthew's view, all of that pales into insignificance with what is happening here. Matthew has told us from the beginning of the gospel that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And he's told us that while Moses could only bring the people to physical rest,
Jesus Emmanuel gives us spiritual rest, eternal rest. The very words of reassurance we were given this morning, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am Emmanuel, and I will give you rest, of which that rest in the promised land was only a picture. And now Jesus is saying to Moses, the Lord revealed his name, I am. But now, for the first time in human history, you are going to hear that divine name fully pronounced. He is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And I, who reveal that name, I who share that name, I pledge myself to you. I will be with you. And so although they'd heard these words of promise before, they'd never heard them before like this. They'd never realized the way in which Jesus was capable of keeping these promises. And now they could be sure that he would. And they needed to be sure that he would, not only because it was important that they heard these promises from Jesus' own lips, but they heard these promises as they faced tremendous challenges. I was thinking this morning as a group of the elders met, that it was to a similar number of men that Jesus appeared, not in the session room, but on a mountain, and said to them, now you are to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I don't know how your elders would have felt if Jesus had appeared in the room and said, I've chosen you elders to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It was an utterly impossible task. But you see, he's reassuring them that he will be with them because all authority in heaven and earth is his. And they were able to go, as they did, to the ends of the earth, because they knew there was nowhere on earth they could go, no circumstances they could possibly encounter in which Jesus would not be with them. Difficulties do not bar Jesus' presence from our lives. And not only so, I think we often read, I know I often read the Great Commission as though it had been given in the modern world with our speed of transport and our ease of communication. But that wasn't the situation with these men. I spoke earlier on to some of the members who had been on the search committee that had put my name before the congregation. And I was walking through Charlotte Airport yesterday evening, and I saw the room in which we had met secretly in Charlotte. And I remembered some of the discussion and some of the things that had been said. I think they wanted me to come. I didn't tell them who could resist coming with people like you. But they encouraged me by saying, you know, Colombia can get a little bit hot in the summer. But you're only 2 hours from the shore and 2 hours from the mountain. Not realizing I was from a country where you couldn't be more than half an hour from the shore or half an hour from the mountain. And perspective changes everything. But my dear friends, these men had not been as far as Charlotte. And he was sending them to the nations. He was giving them an absolutely impossible task. But he was giving them an unbreakable promise. I promise you, I will be with you. I think of David Livingstone, one of our great hero missionaries in Scotland, standing before the students at the graduation service in Glasgow University in the 19th century's arm hanging limp from where the lion had sought to tear him to pieces, and explaining to these students why he was going back to Africa. Because Jesus had promised he would be with his people to the end of the age. And Livingstone said, because that is the word of a gentleman, it has never failed me yet. And the evidence is all around us. There have never been more Christians in the world than there are today. Jesus has kept his promise to his disciples, even though they face this huge challenge. And yes, even although the pattern of their lives hitherto had been one of failure. That's the story of the gospel narrative, isn't it? It's failure after failure after failure. But the great thing was that Jesus had still been with them. One of the intriguing things about Matthew's gospel is that he singles out Simon Peter in his narrative. And he mentions four different occasions in which Simon Peter had failed abysmally. I know you're studying 1 Peter on Sunday evenings. Why do we love 1 Peter and why do we love Peter? Most of us do so because we failed so much as Christians. And we learn from him. Jesus prays for us. And Jesus is with us. And you see, what he's saying is, I'm not going to change. I'm still going to be the same Jesus I've been to you these last 3 years. And I'm still going to be with you even when you stumble, even when you fall, even when things overcome you. I will be with you. And I will be everything to you. I am here now with you. And since he was telling them that they were to teach others everything he had taught them, and they were to teach others everything they had taught them, this is a promise for us as well as for them. This is Jesus' promise to me. Sinclair, I am with you. Even when you stumble, even when you fail, I am with you. And if you look at these words, they're to go to the nations, and they're to make disciples, and they're to teach the gospel, and they're to baptize. In Matthew's account, that's kind of shorthand for something Jesus had said earlier on, in the context of one of Peter's failures. He'd said, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. And it wouldn't surprise me, but these words echoed in the minds of the disciples as they heard Jesus say, now, I'm going to build my church through you. But Master, what about the gates of Hades attacking us? And of course, those words of Jesus in Matthew 16 are not just a vague promise. They were actually a prophecy that came true. And they would come true immediately. Within a matter of months, that prophecy would come true in the lives of these disciples. As so often it's come true in the lives of vibrant churches, like our church here and vibrant church families. That when Jesus builds his church, the enemy becomes restless. And he does so in the Acts of the Apostles and throughout church history, almost always in one of three ways. First of all, by intimidation. And you see that in Acts chapter 4. And then, secondly, if that fails, in people who falsely seek ambition. And if that fails, then in the third place, as in Acts chapter 6, by people who cause division. And when God is at work, we mustn't be blind to the fact that Satan will also be at work. And indeed, we need to examine our own hearts to see if any of those characteristics in our lives might mar the work that the Lord Jesus is doing in our church. Am I an intimidator? Am I someone who falsely seeks ambition? Am I someone who sows division? These are not marks of the presence of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in me. These are danger signs that I may harm his church. And it's in that context that Jesus says, I will be with you. Whatever, I'll never leave you. I'll never ever forsake you. But then there's a third thing I want you to notice in these words. Not only was this a promise that they'd heard before, and a promise that they desperately needed, it was for the past, it was for the present, but of course it was especially a promise on which they could rely in the future. Some doubted. They knew he was risen, but they didn't know whether would this presence of Jesus last. And he's saying, even though you don't see me, I promise you I will be with you in the future. Now, how could they believe him if they couldn't see him? And one of the reasons was this. He had just kept God's longest standing promise. The promise of Genesis 3:15 that God had given that he would send a Redeemer. Jesus had just kept that promise. Not only so, he had just kept not only God's longest standing promise, he'd kept God's most difficult promise. The promise that that Redeemer would be crushed in order to bring us salvation. And Jesus had wrestled with that in the last hours of his life. Father, he prayed in Gethsemane, is there some other way this can be accomplished? This promise of yours. But since there is no other way, then your will be done. The cup I drink, the cross I carry, the death I die, the judgment I taste, the forgiveness I give. He kept God's hardest promise. And therefore we can be sure that since all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, he will be to us, as Paul says, the yes to every single one of God's promises. But you know, there's another reason you and I can trust this promise, and it's this. You're here. How did you get here? I don't mean by car. I mean, how did you get here to worship Jesus, to love Jesus, to trust him as your Savior, to seek to serve him as your Lord in the church and in the world? Only because Jesus has kept on keeping this promise. If Jesus had failed for an hour to keep this promise, you and I would not have been here. Because he kept this promise to the apostles. He kept it to those with whom they shared everything Jesus taught them, and so on down through the cycle of the centuries until this very day. We are here because Jesus has kept his promise to his church. I will be with you always to the end of the age. I've looked through the various translations of these words and found only one that really translates them literally. All the translations quite correctly translate it, I'll be with you always. But what Matthew records Jesus saying literally is, I will be with you all the days. It's not just some kind of general promise for our life in some vague sense. Jesus will be there. He will occasionally make his presence known. It is every single day of your life. I am with you right through to the end. The bright days and the dark days, the joyful days and the sad days. My friends, it's not possible to have the privilege of standing in this pulpit and looking out on the families of this church without realizing that the evidence that Jesus has kept his promise is all around us here, beside us in the pew, in our lives. He has promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. I spoke to a couple at the Ligonier conference that Derek and I were speaking at this last week who came at one of the book signing sessions, and they told me this very moving story that the father and the son, who was I think 11, had been listening one evening to a sermon that I had preached, although I've nothing to do with the story. But the sermon was entitled, "When the Thing You Most Feared Actually Happens." And a few hours later, the little boy died. And they were there to share this glorious gospel reality that when the thing most feared happens, Jesus is with us. He gives us even little intimations that he will never leave us and never forsake us. And we're surrounded by the fulfillment of that promise today. It is impossible to imagine that he could give you a greater promise or a more reliable promise, or that he could be a greater savior to you or a greater friend to you. And so he invites us again today. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you real rest, because I will be with you all of the days until the end. We want to say hallelujah, don't we? Hallelujah. What a savior. Oh, my dear friends, let's trust him and trust him again and trust him all the days, because he's given you this promise, dear child of mine, I am with you every day. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gospel you've given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the ways in which you have surrounded us with so many evidences, often sorely experienced, that you are with us. We thank you too for the joys with which you surround us, that we can share with our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray together today that every heart in this room may be drawn towards him, and every life may be lived for his glory. So be with us, we pray, as you have promised, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.